We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode.
So last week we left off talking about, you know, how many of us struggle with the sense of being overwhelmed and all over the show and way too many hats and so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about the issue being the narrative in our head. Mm-hmm. And then we just touched a little bit on this topic that we want to bring this week around the notion of, you know, these hats we wear,
mm-hmm.
and the story we tell ourselves around what that means. Like, so, and one of the hats we all, you know, a lot of us wear and a lot of our listeners wear is the mum hat.
Sure.
And a lot of the narrative I hear from clients, you know, in the space, and what I've said myself, absolutely, is I want to be the best mum.
Mm.
What, you know, my coaching training taught me, and our coach trainer started alluding to this whole notion of, yeah, well, that's a value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wanting to be the best mum is one of your values. But it's really helpful for each of our values to have a measure.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, what are you on about?
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. What does that even mean? And so
let's
go there today, Elle.
Sure. And as you're saying it, you know, if someone says to me, what's the most important thing to you, Elle? Like, what's one of your top sort of value in life? And it is, I would easily say, I want to be the best mum that I can be. But if I don't have a measure on that, or if I don't, you know, what does that even mean? Like, does it mean being available to my kids 24/7? Does it mean, like, what does being the best mum really look like? Does it mean cooking all of their meals, making sure that they're healthy? Does it mean taking them to all the sporting things and being there cheering them on? On that note, I remember one time Linky wanted to play cricket. And you're a cricket mum.
I'm a cricket mum.
Because you're a cricket mum in Queensland. And when we used to play, like, we'd play in the middle of stinking nowhere, in the middle of somewhere, very, very hot. And Linky said to me, Mum, I want to play cricket. And I'm like, Linky, I love you, mate. I said, but we're at soccer all winter. I'm telling you now, this is not a reflection of my love for you, but I'm not going to be sitting out every Saturday in the middle of summer in Mount Isa and Longreach and wherever else it takes you.
Yeah.
So I think that's an example of measure.
Absolutely.
Because, you know,
absolutely,
you love him, and you, to be best mum, show up to all of their sporting events. So does it mean when you don't go, you're not being the best mum? And then does that mean we're failing? Like,
and the, you know, just listening to you there, I'm reminded of a coaching session I had just yesterday with a beautiful young mum, new mum.
Mm.
And she was just sharing how she got herself caught up in such overwhelm and angst because of seeing what everybody else on social media is doing and proclaiming that if you don't do this, you're not a good mum. And if you don't do that, you're not a good mum. And so you are right, you know, and I think there is so much out there that shouts at us, you know, around, like, what does it even mean to be a good mum? And I think when we don't have it settled individually in ourselves, what that means. And if we are looking to social media for what that means, that is a recipe for overwhelm for sure.
Absolutely. So measure. So how do we tackle this then? If we've got all of these hats on our heads and we say, okay, we want to be the best, we want to be, you know, the best mom, we want to be an amazing wife, we want to be a great leader in our business, we want to, you know, all of these things, how do we even go about getting a measure? Like, what do we need to do, Kath?
Well, I think it's helpful to maybe look, that example is a brilliant example of being a good parent. I just was going to change it and bring it back to a more measurable. Let's talk about exercise as a measurable, and then we can transpose that back into, so how does this example translate to being a good mum? You know,
excellent.
So if you value, let's just say exercise is something you value, your health is something you value, and part of being mm-hmm. healthy is your exercise. Mm-hmm. So exercise is a good example to use because there is a clear measure. You know, like, what is exercise? What does that look like? And again, social media can tell you what they think it should look mm-hmm. like. Social media could say you should be doing, you know, 5 days a week or 7 days a week. And I mean, we've been bombarded by what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And if you're this old, you should be doing that. And if you're that old, you should be doing this and all these things. And but for each individual, like for me, for you, for all our listeners, mm-hmm. each of our listeners, I've got to decide, or it's very helpful if I can decide, okay, so what do I want healthy exercise for me Excellent. To look like?
Excellent.
And so I can quite easily put a measure on that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it might be that I want to aim for 4 days a week mm-hmm. and I want to aim for, a combination of brisk walking and some
strength
weights or mm-hmm. strength something, you know, and I get to quantify for me what I want that to look like.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have that quantified, just say to myself, oh, I value exercise, I want to do exercise, I want, you know, then what tends to happen is I might go for that brisk walk, but the narrative in my head is, oh, I just went for a walk. That's not real exercise. That's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, I've just done weights, but I only did 20 minutes. I didn't do 30 minutes. It's not enough. Or I missed 2 days this week. Oh, I'm, you know, that's not enough. Mm. And it's funny how often, if we don't have a measure, it's like for some reason our current, in this current culture and world that is, you know, we see on social media, if we don't have our own measure, our narrative defaults to it's not enough. Yeah. Whatever I'm doing now is not enough.
Yes.
And I think the value of having a measure is that's how you get yourself out of that narrative of it's not enough.
Mm.
But when so long as you're saying it's not enough, that's riddled with guilt, shame, all those things.
Because even when you're comparing yourself to somebody else, the underlying part is what I'm doing is not enough.
Absolutely.
Look at what they're doing. Oh, I'm not enough. What I'm doing is not enough. So, you know, I would have been completely slammed on social media by telling everyone the story about going for a run around the block, right, that I shared a few weeks ago. That's, in the eyes of the world, that's not enough. But for me,
I just had to smile, just a very sweet share. So my son's girlfriend, she studying dietetics and nutrition, and she herself battles with celiac. Wow. And my son is doing clinical exercise physiology. And between the two of them, they're really health focused. You know, it was not about the food, it's about the exercise. And it's actually, and she posted such a cute post on social media the other day. She said, and I'm going to get it all wrong now, and sorry, Tor, when I'm going to do this injustice, but she said something about you want my 5 to 8 tips so that I can do my 8 to 5 well. It was something like, you know, and it's this whole notion of how much social media is on there about, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. and what you do between, you know, your morning routine and your 5, and it's all this go do. And so she's got this little reel about, so this is my 5 to 8 to do my 8 to 5 well. And it's literally a 2 second clip or a 3 second clip of her lying in bed sleeping.
That's great.
And I just thought, go for it. That is great, you know, because we need to see more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think we're bombarded with everybody's what you should be doing.
Yeah. Yep. And then when we look at that, we're not enough. And it's not, I was just going to say, what we're doing is not enough. And I said, we're not enough. And those two things are interchangeable. We often do that. We'll say what we're doing is not enough. And then therefore, we're not enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then our measure. Yeah, this is a great conversation. It's, you know, all my
thoughts.
So let's go
back to your, so how would you measure or how could a person potentially measure being a good mom?
Yeah.
You know, and you shared before, does that mean 24/7 I'm always available, you know? So
For me, I like to sometimes look at the flip side as well. So if I don't show up, or if I don't cook a healthy meal, or if I, does that mean I've failed in my endeavor to be the best mum I can be? So sometimes looking at, and of course not. For me, I'm like, no, but if I was planning my thing and I scheduled in Macca's one night, I'd probably go, oh dear, that's not a very great thing. However, that doesn't mean I'm not a good mom.
Yeah. And you brought something up really interesting, because when we do work in coaching with our clients through this exercise and help them to unpack, so what are your values? And so what, you know, if you were to put a measure, it's so interesting how many people have said, like as an example, you know, but if I only put 4 days a week exercise down, you know, I've dropped the bar so low and I don't think I'm going to do anything, you know? So there's this fear that unless we keep the bar so very high that it's almost impossible to achieve, we travel and become, you know.
Then we're scrambling, we're busy, 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 and we can't do it, you know, when we're not doing what we set out to do. So yeah, unpacking, I guess, what being the best mum actually looks like, having some ideas around, okay, being available, to me, it's important to be available, but if my kid is ringing up around something that they can solve themselves, but they're wanting me to jump at what they need, then that's actually not being the best mum, because I'm being available and running to the rescue. Actually, I'm doing them a disservice. So being the best mum is actually really tricky to put on paper, but yeah, it's looking at what we, we're trying to get my language around it.
Yeah, no, and this is why it is so tricky. You know, this is not straightforward.
No.
It's not rocket science.
No.
But it's not straightforward either. And I think the other challenge that, if you're listening and you're a mom and you've got more than one child, you'll probably resonate really well here. Being the best mom for one of your children doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as being the best mom for one of your other children.
Yeah.
Because they are different human beings with different needs from you. And so one child might require you something different of you.
Yeah.
And that's how you're showing up the best way you know how. And also on that, I'm not sure, and this is just me, like, okay, if you're listening, this is purely a Catherine thought. Take it, leave it. I'm happy to be challenged on this. Absolutely.
I love Catherine's thoughts. Yep.
But I don't know that I really like the word best in this scenario.
Yeah, I don't.
Because it kind of steers us towards this direction of perfectionism. For so many of us, being the best means being perfect.
Yeah.
And goodness knows, I know that, you know, there's no ways I'm the perfect mom, you know, my kids.
No,
I show up and try my best every day.
Yeah.
But even that, you know, if I don't have a measure of what that looks like, then the story is I'm not enough. I'm not being enough.
And it opens the door again to comparing ourselves to the people that we see as being the best mums.
So what do we swap that word with then, Al?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I was thinking along the exact same lines. You beat me to the question. If we want to be the best mum for our kids, it's all about, okay, well, how else could we say that gives us healthier language and thoughts towards the direction of where we want to go? So what does being the best mum mean? Yeah.
I think for me on that one, because it's such a, you know, it's not nearly as measurable or straightforward as like exercise, that exercise example. I think for me, what's been helpful is to have a few like overarching thoughts around what it means.
Yeah.
You know, am I available 24/7? No, but if one of my children leaves a message, for example, my measure is always to get back to them. You know, and we've got a few things in place that I feel, for me, they value things, they're like non-negotiables as far as communication. So I think, so probably how we communicate is one of the things, and there's a few non-negotiables in that.
Yes.
Other one, any of us is traveling everywhere, you let people know when you're leaving and you let people
and when
know
when you
people,
arrive,
you know.
Yeah.
If we visit, like, so my kids live in Brisbane, we live in Adelaide. If I'm going to Brisbane, I don't demand that I have to see them, but it would be lovely to see them if they're available.
Makes sense.
So I always give the, you know, so part, a decision I've made is I want to be the kind of parent who knows that when I'm spending time with my children, that it's their choice to spend time with me. And, you know, and that takes fostering this good relationship with them. And because you want to be with people that you actually want to be
with.
Yes. Yeah. And so working out for myself what that looks like and how I want to be. So I think there are some sort of overarching ways and how I want to be with within that relationship that helps me to put a measure. Mm. And yet each individual scenario. So like, okay, so our son had this car accident. He's absolutely fine. Car's right. Not so great. And in the moment, my first mum thought was, I got to get on a plane. I got to get there. And then my next thought was, okay, how's he going to feel when I suddenly arrive at his doorstep? And he's not living at home at the moment because he's away on placement for uni. So he's in a rural town.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and his mum to the rescue.
In a rural, you know, the middle of nowhere and says, hey, Matt, I'm here. And knowing that he's absolutely fine and well. And that helped me to realize, well, actually, what does he need from me right now in this moment?
That's right.
No, he doesn't need me to arrive.
Be there.
So he called, you know, he's called a couple of times since then. And so, yeah, we're available to chat. We're always sort of checking in and asking those relevant questions. And so I suppose the parent example is, and again, what being, I suppose it's easy just using that language, the best mum. It's a seasonal thing too. What it looks like in one season doesn't look the same in another season.
No.
And so being able to be flexible with those measures. In chatting this out with you, I think the value of these measures comes in just having a measure. And it doesn't matter if the measure is flexible and changes in different scenarios, because it should. But there's a massive difference between having a kind of measure, some kind of measure, even if it's not specific yet in your mind, but you've got an idea intuitively, versus no measure.
That's right. Because otherwise, again, we've never enough. And when you were saying before about how I mentioned being available 24/7, you know what? My kids know that I'm available, and that's what I want them to know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're human, we sleep, right? We might miss a text, miss a phone call. Doesn't mean we don't love them. Doesn't mean I'm a terrible mum. So I think just being really careful and mindful that we are human, that yes, we want to be a great mum. We want to do the best. I mean, these kids are a gift to us, but we're not miracle working superwoman mums. And I think it's worth having a conversation. What does being a mum look like? What's important? What is my measure? Does it mean I failed?
I think that's why coaching sessions are so valuable, because it's not about picking up a book that gives instructions or gives this is the checkbox and this is the measure and this is how it needs to be. Because it's like, I think each person's definition of that is as unique as your fingerprint. And I think that's the challenge when we look outward to how others try and tell us it should look like.
That's right.
You know, and then we try and fit someone else's mold, and then that doesn't feel right, and we can't do that, and we fall flat. Yeah. Where in actual fact, if we give ourselves permission to decide for ourselves what we want that to be, and sometimes it's a intuition, it's a knowing in your gut. We often talk about the gut brain and the heart brain, and some things are headspace stuff.
Yeah, logical, for sure.
Reasoning, you can write them down. And some things, it's in your heart.
Yeah.
In your heart, you just know.
That's right. And it's an alignment in your heart and your mind together.
And your gut,
That's right, in your gut. And you'll see that in play when you watch, if you ever watch any of those shows around parenting and discipline on TV, right? Everybody's got a completely different idea on how to raise their children.
Yeah.
The moment you start to, and it's good, it's healthy to have conversations around these things. Absolutely. Don't go, okay, I'm doing it my way. This is my feeling. This is what I'm doing. That's not a smart way to do life. We're not getting into the nitty gritty now, but it's important that if that sort of triggers and you start to compare yourself and you start, don't watch those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
See everybody gets really upset with each other, and then they feel like a bad parent. And so it's
and
a
at
really
the same space, and listening to you here, I'm reminded also the same space if you're listening and you're thinking, gosh, I wouldn't even know where to start with trying to figure out for myself what I want that to look like.
Yeah.
It's sometimes helpful if you have someone in your world, and whenever you're with them or you observe them or you watch them, there's just something about their way of being that your heart just goes, oh, man, that's what love looks like, or that's what being calm looks like, or that's who I want to be.
Yes.
And if you've got people in your world like that, then again, it's one thing to notice this, but it's another thing to really notice and then observe and then go, okay, well, if I could be more like that, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And usually if it's something that you've observed that's like warms your heart or disturbs something in your soul, it's usually a sign that it's because you resonate with that.
Yeah.
And that's a guide that you can use, because that's probably more likely your
way.
Your bent. Yeah.
Because we are different. We're all created different. Yeah. Look, I love this conversation. I think it's opened lots of eyes to see different ways of looking at the hats that we wear, particularly as women, when we're a mum as well. I think it's helped us to challenge our language around some of the words we say.
Yeah,
what does being the best mean to us? Let's really unpack that a bit further and let's think about it and write it down. Let it get it sometimes for me, get it out of my thoughts, because that's just all looping and sometimes confusing and taking up a lot of space, and writing it down. And sometimes then you'll go, is that really the best? And you go, and you can challenge yourself.
Yeah. And I think even just to start with, for some of us, it might even be a challenge just to start with, what are those hats?
Oh,
I say I wear all these hats, but let me just start by naming
them. I really? And do I need to wear them all?
Yeah, absolutely. Do I need to wear them all? And then we use metaphor a lot in coaching. So I'm just smiling here because, I'm very visual and I love metaphor. And I'd be almost like saying, if there was a physical hat that represents each role, what kind of hat is that?
Yeah.
And is it like, one of those sort of fascinators that's all, like feathers and flowers? Or is it, a running cap? Or is it a Kubra.
Uh-huh.
Playing on that and like, what does that mean? And what does that represent, to you, to help you figure it out?
And I think help get rid of some of that guilt, right?
And just help you to find that language that's sometimes so tricky to find. Absolutely, hands down, whenever I've tried to do any of these exercises on my own, it helps.
Yeah.
And I get a step further.
It's a place to start.
When I have a conversation about these things with a coach, man, I just get there much quicker in the end.
Well, I love the conversation we've had today, because even though I feel like I've got a greater measure on what being a mum means to me and how that looks like for our children and our family, the fact that I still say one of my values is to be the best mum, I think I'm going to change my language around that. I need to think about, okay, well, what does it really mean to me? And what language can I use that is more sort of, that sits better, that it doesn't open the door to comparison. It doesn't open the door to being the worst mum. It doesn't open the door
like,
to these things.
Better than who, best.
Yeah,
best. Better than what,
because when I talk about fitness, I don't say I want to be the fittest person or the best, healthy. Like, I don't use that language in any other area of my life. When writing my book, I don't want to be the best author, and it's not to say I don't want to be a great mom. It's just, is that language useful? So that's my takeaway.
I even love that word better.
Yeah.
Saying I want to be a great mom.
Yes.
I actually love that. That's very, I don't know, to me, and language again is it's a very personal thing, and language will trigger people differently.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're going, Kath, I can't add that, to me, that's like really weird. Great, best, they sound the same to me.
Same.
but in my brain, those two words feel different.
Yeah, they do.
So if I'm aspiring to be a great mum, that feels less perfectionistic, less pressured or whatever,
less
than if I'm saying I want to be the best mum. Yeah. you know, I don't want to be the best. I want to be great. And you can also be great. And
yeah, Alice, we can all be great together.
We can all be great together.
We can have a greatness party.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. Yeah. I'll love that.
Yeah, no, it's been a great conversation. Thank you for sharing. And hopefully this has challenged our listeners as well to think about the language, think about the hats that they are wearing in the busyness of life. Is there a measure on what those hats and yeah, to think about maybe some of those hats actually don't need to be worn as well, and time to put them aside. All worth a thought. Yeah.
I'm going to go and have fun drawing out some of my hats now, Elle.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a great week.
See you next time.